Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 444 for September 22nd, 2013, with bonus coverage from this weekend's Kentucky Bourbon Festival in Bardstown, Kentucky. Coming up in a few minutes.
I was there with Dad, the very first Hall of Fame, and I drove him up to Four Roses when he was inducted. I never thought one day I'd be standing before people being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Fred Noe became the latest member of the Beam family to be inducted into the Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame on Friday, along with Tom Blinko of Busick Construction in Bardstown. He's been a key part of almost every distillery construction project in Kentucky for years now. We'll hear from both of them later on Whiskey Cast In Depth. I'll also have the calendar of events, your voice, and in the What I'm Tasting This Week department, my tasting notes for this year's George T. Stagg Bourbon from the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection, all on this episode of Whiskey Cast.
Whiskey Cast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the Stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Let's start off with the latest whiskey news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. In yesterday's episode, we heard from Parker Beam of Heaven Hill, who's been named Distillery Manager of the Year in Whiskey Magazine's 2014 U.S. Icons of Whiskey Awards. The awards will be presented on Tuesday at the Brown Hotel in Louisville. Buffalo Trace was named Distiller of the Year, while Balcones Distillery was named Craft Distiller of the Year. Corsair Artisan Distillery won Whiskey Brand Innovator of the Year honors. Jimmy Russell of Wild Turkey was named American Whiskey Ambassador of the Year. Glenmorangie's David Blackmore was named the Scotch Whiskey Ambassador of the Year. The Oscar Getz Museum of Whiskey History here in Bardstown was named Visitor Attraction of the Year, while Kim Bennett of Jim Beam's American Stillhouse was named the Visitors Center Manager of the Year. New York City's Park Avenue Liquor Shop won Single Store Retailer of the Year, and Binney's in Chicago won Retail Chain of the Year honors. They'll go up against icons to be named later this year for Scotland and the rest of the world, with the Global Icons of Whiskey Awards to be presented in London next March. Wild Turkey's new Visitors Center in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky is expected to open next month after some construction delays. Wild Turkey plant manager Rick Robinson told me this weekend that the plans had been to have it open in time for the Bourbon Festival, but construction crews had to deal with the remnants of Lawrenceburg's old water treatment facility that had been demolished at the site years ago. A formal grand opening for the Visitors Center is planned for next spring. Of course, that's not the only snafu that Wild Turkey has faced this year. Last week's episode had my tasting notes for Wild Turkey's limited edition Forgiven, which was created entirely by accident when some distillery workers made a mistake. I caught up with Jimmy Russell here in Bardstown to get the whole story.
Well, we was dumping bourbon, our regular bourbon, for Wild Turkey bourbon to bottle. They got through dumping the bourbon. They blowed the lines, cleaned the lines out, called the tank room, said we're finished. The tank room done everything, made the gauge on like we have to for the government, got all the gallons and everything. And then they called and told them we'd start pumping rye. The only thing about the tank crew forgot to switch the valves. They started pumping the rye on top of the bourbon. And after a while they realized what was happening, they called, and that's a big mistake that we had. It's about, somewhere 24% rye, 76% bourbon.
And what did you and Eddie do when they told you about it?
Well, we was upset quite a bit at that time, but, you know, it's worked out pretty well. Except the only thing we hate about it, we're short of rye whiskey. We could be using the rye whiskey that's in mixed in with that.
Would that have gone into the regular rye 101 and 81?
Yeah, it would have been regular rye 101 or 81.
This is something you can't repeat, right?
We can repeat it, but we just don't have the rye whiskey now, so I don't know what we're going to do.
What does this do to you as far as making rye available to the market for a while?
Well, we're still on allocations on the rye. We didn't know 6 or 7 years ago that rye was going to make this big jump. And, you know, we can't make it overnight, so we're still on allocations. But we know right now through 2014.
You'll find my tasting notes for Forgiven at whiskeycast.com. We know that whiskey is made by distilling beer. It could be said that whiskey is what beer wants to be when it grows up. The guys at Ranger Creek in San Antonio, Texas, have taken this theory to a new level. Ranger Creek makes beer as well as whiskey, and back when they were getting started in 2010, they made up a batch of Belgian-style beer, but couldn't sell it yet because they didn't have all of their licenses in order. So they had the bright idea to test out their whiskey stills with the beer. The end result is what they're calling a Belgian white whiskey that just went on sale in Texas. They're still making the beer, which they call La Bestia Amable, or the Friendly Beast, and they refer to the whiskey as the beer's evil twin, La Bestia Defavorable, the Unfriendly Beast. Only about 500 cases of the whiskey will be available. The latest round of Glenmorangie's Caskmasters project is complete with the selection of a name for the single malt. After selecting a Manzanilla sherry cask for the whiskey earlier, voters have now chosen a Gaelic name from three choices picked by Gaelic scholar Dr. Angus McConnick. The winner, and I need to be really careful here, is spelled T-A-G-H-T-A and pronounced Tata. The next phase, picking the packaging for the whiskey. In other news, the Pogue family of Macefield, Kentucky, has been working to revive their family distillery. They've been selling old Pogue bourbon for years, with whiskey sourced from another distiller, but started making their own whiskey in very small batches a year or two ago. They've created a separate brand for that whiskey. They're selling it as Five Fathers Rye Whiskey. I'll have more on this on an upcoming episode of Whiskey Cast. Also on the Kentucky craft distilling front, the Beam Brothers at Limestone Branch Distillery in Lebanon have come out with an aged moonshine. Had a chance to taste Revenge the other night. It has a lot of bourbon-like qualities to it. They're aging bourbon at the distillery now, but it won't be ready for a while yet. You can get a look at Limestone Branch in the Whiskey Cast HD episode from last year on Kentucky's distilling families that are reclaiming their heritage. Also, when I was in Ireland earlier this month for the housewarming celebrations at Middleton, I kept hearing rumors about the distillery that Altec's Dr. Pierce Lyons helped set up at Carlow Brewing Company in County Carlow. Those rumors centered on the distillery essentially being a way for Lyons, who was born and raised in Ireland, to start making whiskey there while he works on building a full-size distillery. Talked with Altec's Town Branch Distillery Manager Mark Kaufman this week, and he confirmed that he's been spending a lot of time these days in Ireland. They're trying to get planning permission for a distillery on the west side of Dublin near the Guinness Brewery. The process could take well into 2014 before a final decision is made, though. Mike Veach of the Filson Historical Society in Louisville is a member of the Bourbon Hall of Fame for his work on tracing the history of bourbon. But amazingly, the Filson has just now gotten around to naming him the Society's official bourbon historian.
Basically, created a new position. I am officially a bourbon historian with the Filson, no longer an associate curator in special collections. And my primary focus is to use bourbon events to promote the Filson and raise a little money for the Filson.
So you're going to be taking the Bourbon Academy on the road now, right?
That's correct. I've already got it set up to go Chicago next week, Dayton, Ohio on the 19th of October, Bloomington on the 26th of October.
And that's Bloomington, Indiana, right?
Bloomington, Indiana.
We don't want to confuse it because there's Bloomingtons all over the place.
That's true. And that's Dayton, Ohio, of course. And then, of course, we're at the Filson on November 2nd, but then I'm going to St. Louis, Missouri on the 9th, and then Owensboro on November 23rd, I think it is, and then Washington, D.C. on December 14th.
And people can also bring you out to other parts of the country if they're interested, right?
That's correct. I'll be happy to do the Bourbon Academy in their town. If they want to contact me at the Filson Historical Society, simply www.filsonhistorical.org. But and if you don't want a full academy, I'm also available if you want me just to come up and give a talk. I did that up at the Century Bar in Dayton a couple of weeks ago, and it was very well attended and a great event. And we're also going to be doing a Repeal Day event on December 5th with some Kentucky Tavern that was bottled in 1926 and some Weller Original Barrel Proof that was bottled in 1951. And Buffalo Trace is going to sponsor it, and we're going to have Modern Kentucky Tavern and Modern Weller and probably some Buffalo Trace to go with it, and it'll be a fun event.
Last time we talked, you just published the book on bourbon history. How's that going so far?
It's going real well. As of the beginning of September, I'd sold over 5,000 copies, which is really good for a university press book.
Now, if you think you know your bourbons and you're willing to risk $100 to win a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle bourbon, Mike has another event coming up on October 8th at the Filson that you might just want to make the trip to Louisville for.
We're going to have a blind tasting. We're going to have five bourbons. You'll know what five bourbons they are, but you won't know the order in your glass. And whoever gets the most right will win a bottle of Pappy.
And this is open to anybody?
Anybody wants to pay the $100.
And it's on October 8th at the Filson.
At the Filson.
Since you've only got five of them, theoretically you could have more than one person get five. You can have a taste off?
Yes. We have Julian and Preston Van Winkle and Joy Perini are going to be the referees. And if there's a tie, we're going to pull out a completely blind bourbon and see if they can tell us the proof, age, distiller, and brand. Whoever gets the most right out of those.
This could be fun.
Yeah, we're hoping it'll be. We'd love to see it become a nice annual event.
Now, there is an easier, albeit more expensive, way to get your hands on a bottle of Pappy with Mike's help. Mike helped MC Saturday's auction at the Bourbon Festival to raise money for the Oscar Goetz Museum of Whiskey History. The auction is sponsored each year by the Van Winkle family. Get the idea? A signed bottle of Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve 23-year-old went for $1,000, while a signed bottle of the 20-year-old Pappy went for $800. The auction also features pre-prohibition whiskeys, as well as bottles signed by most of the master distillers at the state's bourbon distilleries and other collectible items. They hold it every year on the Saturday of Bourbon Festival weekend. Full disclosure, I donated a one-of-a-kind metal print of my Fire and Oak photograph to the museum for this year's auction. Thanks to the bidder who paid $275 for it. I'm sorry I didn't get his name. And finally, congratulations to the Barrel Rolling Dynasty, that is the Heaven Hill Barrel Rolling Team. Heaven Hill swept the World Championship Bourbon Barrel Relays here in Bardstown on Sunday, winning the men's and women's team titles. Eric Leslie of Heaven Hill won the men's individual title, and Betty Jo Boone of Heaven Hill won the women's title. Maker's Mark came in second in the men's team event, with Barton 1792 Distillery third. Buffalo Trace was the women's runner-up, with Barton 1792 in third place. Those are just some of the week's headlines. Make sure you download yesterday's episode from the Bourbon Festival for more of the week's whiskey news. Of course, you can keep up with the latest whiskey news all week long at whiskeycast.com.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie. Help us select the next Glenmorangie single malt whiskey with the Glenmorangie Caskmasters project. Sign up online through the Glenmorangie Facebook page or on glenmorangie.com.
Still a few days left to take advantage of the Bourbon Heritage Month special in the Whiskey Cast Photo Gallery. With every order of $100 or more through September 30th, you'll receive a free 11x14-inch print of the Rick House. And I'm donating 20% of all orders this month to the Parker Beams Promise of Hope Fund for ALS research. From Bardstown, I'm heading up to Grimsby, Ontario for 40 Creek Distillery's annual Whiskey Weekend on the shores of Lake Ontario this coming weekend. I'll be taking part in tasting sessions on Saturday and Sunday with John Hall, along with Davin DeKergamo and Joanne McInnes. And John will be unveiling this year's 40 Creek special release, Heart of Gold. If you're anywhere in southern Ontario, western New York, or anywhere close this coming weekend, I hope to see you there. Time now for Your Voice, brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker. This weekend's first episode from Bardstown featured a rare interview with Parker Beam. He came out to the All-Star Sampler event the other night, even though he hadn't been expected to attend. And despite his battle with ALS, he spent the entire night meeting bourbon lovers and signing bottles. I posted a shot of Parker from the evening on our Facebook page and had several comments on it. Jeff Weber said simply, "I wish I could have been there." Justin Victor posted this note, "He's a class act. Let him know Promise of Hope has been very well received here in Oklahoma. I saw Craig Beam last night at the Bourbon Festival's gala and passed along Justin's comment and the well wishes we've received from other Whiskey Cast community members. Craig says thanks on behalf of the entire family." Justin had another comment as well. "When I posted the photo of that bottle of Old Forester President's Choice from the 50s from Friday's lunch with Chris Morris at the Brown Foreman headquarters in Louisville, Justin had this to say, I wish Whiskey Podcast Dude had been one of my high school career fair choices. Nobody told me it was an option." Funny, no one told me that either. Evgeny Vershinin posted this note on the Your Voice page at WhiskeyCast.com. Hi, Mark. Just watched the movie The Internship and thought if it's reasonable and possible to celebrate a new job in Google with a gulp of Pappy Van Winkle from the bottle. Well, Evgeny, as far as I'm concerned, with the way the job market is going these days, if you get a new job, whether it's at Google or not, and you've got a bottle of Pappy, well, go for it. If you have something you'd like to share with whiskey lovers around the world, you can do like Evgeny did and post it on the Your Voice page at WhiskeyCast.com. You'll find it in the pub section. You can also email me directly. My address is comments@WhiskeyCast.com. Your Voice is sponsored this time around by Johnny Walker on the web at JohnnyWalker.com. Time now for the calendar of events, brought to you as always by Laphroaig. Tickets are still available for Whiskey Live Boston coming up on October 2nd, along with Whiskey Live Los Angeles on October 17th and Whiskey Live Toronto on November 1st. The Whiskey Show in London will be the weekend of October 5th through the 7th. The Whiskey Jubilee, emphasis on the Jew in Jubilee, will be October 9th in Mount Kisco, New York, and on October 10th at Zanger Hall in New York City. Whiskey Fest New York is on October 11th and 12th. The Belle of Louisville Riverboat will have a bourbon cruise on the 11th. And Bonhams will have its next whiskey auction in New York City on October 13th, with the Master Distillers Unity bottles to benefit the Parker Beams Promise of Hope Fund as just one of the items up for bids. Those are just a few of the events coming up over the next month or so. You'll find more than 300 different whiskey events worldwide on the calendar at WhiskeyCast.com. It's brought to you by Laphroaig. The annual Laphroaig Live webcast is this Thursday night from Brooklyn, New York. Details are available at Laphroaig.com/live. And while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Isla.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Michael Power, stock controller, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
I've been working in Middleton Distillery for the last 28 years. My job base is to organise deliveries of the cereals that are used to make Redbreast. Also, I have to be very mindful of the quality of the cereals coming in, such as the barley and the malt, which are specifically used for Redbreast. We're very mindful of the continuity of supply and the continuity of quality, and we use grain suppliers from the Munster area, which is one of the best growing areas for barley in Ireland. I have been dealing with basically the same people, such as Henry Goods and Pat Den, who have been supplying us with barley. It's usually spring barley going back all those years. Over the years, I've grown to like Redbreast more and more. It's because it's like the distillery itself. Something has developed with me. When you've tasted other whiskies, you learn to drink whiskey, and then later on, when you want more complexity or you want something more from a whiskey, tend to go to whiskies like Redbreast. Redbreast is unique because of the way it's made in the traditional way. The pot stills would have been the traditional way to make Irish whiskey.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
This time around on WhiskeyCast In Depth, the Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame welcomed two new members on Friday, Fred Noe and Tom Blinko. Nominations come from the Kentucky Distillers Association, member distilleries, and the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. The KDA's Board of Directors has the final say on new members. Now, you've never heard of Tom Blinko before. He's not a distiller, but it's fair to say that his family has helped build the entire modern bourbon industry. Tom runs Busick Construction in Bardstown. It's become the go-to contractor when distilleries are looking to expand. Joe Frazier of Heaven Hill is the vice chairman of the KDA and presented Tom Blinko for induction.
After supervising the construction of 39 warehouses in Lynchburg for Jack Daniels, during which he happened to live there for a little bit, Tom returned home to Bardstown and continued to grow the construction business. After managing the construction of those warehouses, basically by hand, building all of those warehouses by hand, Tom was determined to find a better way. He developed a system which allowed the heavy lifting to be done by equipment rather than manually. Barrel warehouses are now able to be built safer, faster, and more economically than ever before. Never has it been more important This fact has been more important during the current resurgence of the bourbon industry. Demand for warehouses has increased exponentially in recent years to the point where Buzek will build over 200,000 barrel storage spaces this year alone. Since 2000, Tom and Buzek have managed the construction of over 1 million barrel storage spaces, which is really remarkable if you think all of those barrels, where would we put them? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those warehouses and the fact that we can all afford them. The diversity of the company developed under Tom's leadership allowed Buzek to participate in another aspect of the bourbon boom, the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Buzek has constructed or updated visitor centers and bourbon tour modifications for Heaven Hill, Four Roses, Maker's Mark, Jim Beam. In addition, Buzek has been part of the distillation expansion of Jim Beam's Booker No plant, the Wild Turkey Distillery, Maker's Mark, and Heaven Hill. Buzek also rebuilt the entire LeBrot and Graham Distillery, which earned the owner, Brown Foreman, a Historic Preservation Award. If you ask Tom what he likes most about the bourbon industry, he will tell you, I like dealing with the people and the camaraderie that exists between the companies on so many levels. It's very unique. Through hard work, imagination, honesty, and integrity, and mutual respect between himself, his employees, and his clients, Tom has successfully brought a small, family-owned construction company into the next century. Tom is proud to have the fourth generation of family members now in place as key personnel of Buzek Construction. And we are proud to introduce Tom Blinko as the newest member of the Bourbon Hall of Fame.
Well, I was not prepared for a speech. I told Freddie not to make me look too bad. Just like Joe was saying, I'm a contractor. I am very, very fortunate to be working for the best industry in the United States and probably the world. All the people of Jimmy has traveled the world, Freddie's traveled the world. There's none better. And there again, like Joe was saying, it's the people that you work with. You build relationships. And I've been doing it 38 years. The company's been doing it since 1937. One of my men found a check the other day. It was brought in a canceled check from Heaven Hill from 1937, from where we were working. I thought that was quite remarkable. And it's just not me. It's our workers that we have in Buzek are the best. I've got the best people from the office personnel all the way to our laborers. They're the best. And my wife, she's not just my wife, she's my best friend. And we've taken the company from a small to, I'd say, medium, and but we enjoy working for all of the distilleries. People just do not understand how lucky I am. Everybody asks me how I'm doing. I tell them it's not fair, and they say why? Because I've got it so good, and that's the truth. It really is. It's just very lucky to work for this industry, and thank you very much.
And then there's Fred Noe, the latest member of the Beam family to join the Hall of Fame. Counting the various branches of the family, there are at least 8 Beams in the Hall of Fame. As Fred will readily admit, at one point he might have been the least likely member of the family to receive this honor. But as Beam CEO Matt Shattuck presented Fred for induction, it's clear that Fred Noe has made his own mark on the bourbon industry.
Fred is many things, but I would give you a few windows on Fred. First and foremost, he is a distiller and innovator. He is a man who knows the craft of distilling bourbon and really what it does take to make a great bourbon whiskey. He's also an innovator, however, and his hands are on very many of our great innovations. Most recently, it came from Fred telling some of our younger members of our team some stories from his past that we actually created the Devil's Cut innovation, which is now being sold in 25 countries around the world and sits alongside other innovations such as Red Stag, which was the first flavored bourbon to enter the market. Fred's father, Booker, 25 years ago, created the concept of small batch, and that small batch collection bears Booker's name and certainly his cousin, Baker. And Freddie's taken that on to another level and has really nurtured brands such as Knob Creek and some of its recent innovations, such as its single barrel, its rye, and recently its smoke maple expressions. So he's indeed an innovator in many ways. But Fred is also a great ambassador. As I said, Fred travels, in fact, he's done over 1 million miles traveling around the world and spreading the great word of bourbon to so many countries. Our second and biggest bourbon markets are Australia and Germany, and those are places where Fred is a frequent visitor and is very well known to customers and consumers alike. But he doesn't stop there. He's off to Japan, he's off to Canada, off to Mexico, off to Russia, and really trying to plant the seed of bourbon all around the world and tell the story as only Fred can. And certainly he has amplified that knowledge and that great ambassadorship which he brings through a very simple connection. He, I think, sums up the values of bourbon. They are summed up for me in American authenticity and craftsmanship and unpretentious enjoyment. In fact, whenever Fred is asked, how should I drink bourbon? His answer is, drink in any way you damn please. And I think that is a very empowering and a very appropriate thought for the bourbon business, because it's full of those very strong values. You may also know that Fred's a bit of an orator. He takes place in the great whiskey debate and innovation in our business. And we have some fine distillers around the world, from our Irish, from our Scotch, from our Canadian distilleries. And they are colorful characters like Fred. But every whiskey debate I've been to, when the vote is cast at the end through the cheers in the room, bourbon wins hands down. I'm sure it's bourbon, but I'm sure it's Fred now who's winning those debates as well. And for those of you that don't know and would like a good read, he's also an author, and his biography of his life, or autobiography of his life so far, is called Beam Straight Up. And if you haven't had a chance, please do read it. It's a good read, and it's a great expression of Fred and all he stands for. But I think aside being a great distiller, an innovator, a wonderful ambassador for our industry and for our business, Fred is something more than that. He's the nearest thing we've got to a rock star in our business. Wherever he goes in the world, he is revered. He draws big crowds and he engages with them. And he has a lot of famous friends. And I saw him last week at a meeting with his good friend Kid Rock and Montgomery Gentry. But it doesn't really matter if you are somebody famous like that or if you're just a stranger he's met and invited back to sit on the porch with him in Bardstown. You will get the same Fred. You will get a gentle, humble, humorous man who is happy to sit with anybody and tell a tale of this great industry and of his legacy that went before him and treat you as an equal. And I think that is ultimately the thing that we know and love and respect in Fred. And I think that the phrase which Fred is best known for in our business is summed up by the fact that anybody who visits, whether it's the home in Bardstown or whether it's our new American Stillhouse, will be welcomed with the phrase that when you arrive at Beam, at our home, you come as a friend and you leave as family. And really the concept of family that lies at the heart of our business is personified by this great man. He's poured his heart and soul into this business and continues to do so. There is no harder working or more humble man in our business. And there is nobody in my view who has a bigger impact on the growth and the renaissance we're seeing in bourbon today. He is making history, and I suspect that today, a great day for our business and a great day for Fred, that his forebears, his father, his beloved father Booker and Colonel James Beam are looking down and saying, here's a man not just that carried the legacy of our industry and our business, but the one that's added his own unique fingerprint to it. And so Fred, really from all of us, from the 3,400 members of the Beam family around the world, from the thousands of business partners, some of whom are here in the room today, and from millions of consumers who know you and know the results of your craft, we say not just congratulations, but thank you sincerely from all of us. You've made all of us in the Beam family very, very proud on this very special day. We congratulate you. Please join me. Fred Noe, thank you.
Damn, Matt. Thank you. See, I heard it was a bet on how many times I would say hell, but I'll say, well, you're making me a lot more important than I really am, you know. So there's one for you. I heard the bet was over and under on five. We might get there. We'll see. Now, before I go any further, you know, I want to thank, you know, Matt and all the folks from our corporate headquarters, you know, in Deerfield, Illinois, came down. You know, and all my friends that are here today, I mean, a lot of familiar faces, you know, for coming out. You know, it means a lot to have all y'all come. You know, it's really cool, you know, and a special thanks for my family for coming out, you know, my wife, Sandy, you know, my son, Freddie, his fiancee, Kay and Braylee back there. And a special thanks to Mom. I mean, hell, she's the one that brought me into the world. You know, and y'all pretty much been there for me the whole time, you know, and it's, as Matt said, I probably couldn't have done it without them. They tolerate me being gone more than I'm home a lot. But that's, you know, that's what we do. I mean, my dad on the road, Jimmy Russell, I mean, we're gone more than we're home, you know, and that was funny. Even before Dad, I might as well tell a little story. Y'all know I'm full of stories, and some people would probably say full of shit, but we won't go there. But when I started traveling, I don't need my glasses for this one, I saw my buddy Jimmy out on the road, and I was talking to some people, and he's over there acting like he's writing on his hand. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking notes. I said, what do you mean you're taking notes? I'm going to go back and tell Booker what you're out here doing on the road. I said, whoa, 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 I don't need a dad on the road and a dad at home, too. So that's kind of been our deal, you know. It's my dad right there. It's my second dad for sure. You know, and it's good. I mean, everybody's here. Love doing it. And I want to thank, you know, the KDA, you know, and the, you know, the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, you know, for giving me this honor. This is really a hell of an honor for me, you know, and to get into this, you know, this group of people. I was there with Dad, the very first Hall of Fame, and I drove him up to Four Roses when he was inducted. I never thought one day I'd be standing before people being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Shit, it was just one of them things. But it's happened, so it's kind of, you know, it's really cool. And you think about it, you know, Jim Beam's in there, and David Beam, Uncle Jerry Beam, and now me. You know, maybe one day, hell, Freddie, if you stick with it, brother, you may get up here too. But you know, this is a big deal because it's really cool. Because it is, to think of the guys that I'm in there with. I mean, there's guys I've looked up to and still do, and it's always good. And, you know, this it's always good for what getting out here doing what we do. We travel around, we promote the bourbon, we meet people all over the world, and we never meet a stranger. I mean, I follow Jimmy or Jim, you know, you go in a liquor store, and I go in there to sign bottles, and I look up, and all the Four Roses bottles got Jim Rutledge's name on them. I look over and all the Wild Turkeys got Jimmy's name on them, and you get over here and Craig Beam signed all the Heaven Hill. I said, well, shit, I'm behind. I should have gone the front end of this deal, but you know. But you know, it's kind of funny. I might as well talk a little bit about, you know, I started out on the bottling line on night shift, you know, and Dad wanted me to learn the business from the ground up. And when you go to the night shift bottling line, that's pretty damn close to the ground. I mean. But you know, I love what I did. It was always good. The people accepted me, took me in, you know, at first. I'm sure they were a little leery, old Booker's son. They probably, oh shit, he's a spy. He's coming down here. He's gonna catch all of us drinking and doing what we do at night. But once they figured out I wasn't a spy, hell, we was okay. And you know, it moved me around doing a lot of different jobs down at the plant, and it was kind of funny. Each job kind of led to another, and here I am today, you know, and it was funny. A lot of you know that, you know, I wasn't really a very good student in college. We won't get into that. Or high school, or probably really grade school either. But, you know, I did take to the distillery pretty good, you know, because I've been down there now 29 years, and hell, they haven't run me off yet, so I guess we're doing okay. And, you know, I guess I kind of say I'm pretty damn lucky. I mean, I got the best job in the world in my eyes. I get to work with the best people in the world. And I mean, I get to travel the world. I mean, I never dreamed I'd set foot in Russia. One time I got in, one time I didn't. Didn't have the right paperwork. You know, so that's kind of what we do, you know. But we travel the world representing the family, the state of Kentucky, and the bourbon. And it's great, you know. Our family's been doing this for 218 years. And shit, we're going to keep doing it. I mean, making bourbon is what the Beams do. I mean, that's what we all do. I mean, it's not really a job or a career, man, it's our life, and it's been Jimmy's life. And I mean, I don't know what we'd do. I mean, Dad always said that's what we do. Don't try to do anything else, boy, because a lot of Beams have tried, and a lot of them have failed. So, you know, we're gonna be here. You know, the Beams have been making bourbon, always have, and probably always will. It's a hell of an honor, and I appreciate everybody coming out. Hopefully, we can all have a little drink today, because I'm damn glad I'm finished this speech. Thank y'all.
Each member of the Hall of Fame receives a small copper still. Fred's is now in his new man cave on Bardstown's Whiskey Row, along with four of the stills for his relatives. And I use the term man cave literally. The crew from the DIY Network show Man Caves recently remodeled the garage Booker No built behind his house into a new man cave for Fred. During Fred's annual Bourbon Festival barbecue on Friday night, the man cave was open for the first time. But we weren't allowed to take pictures. That's because the man cave's episode on Fred's garage won't be broadcast until January 24th, and they'd like to preserve some of the suspense. Congratulations to both Tom and Fred, and that's this week's Whiskey Cast In Depth. Let's start off the What I'm Tasting This Weekend department with a bourbon that has a classic name and a new heritage. Colonel James E. Pepper was the son of Oscar Pepper, and the family ran for many years what we now know as the Woodford Reserve Distillery in Versailles, Kentucky. He later built a distillery in Lexington that carried his name until it closed in 1958. Now the name has been revived by the Georgetown Trading Company, which acquired the rights to the name several years ago. Their first bourbon to carry the James E. Pepper name was distilled at Corsair Artisan Distillery in Bowling Green, and the only places it's available are at Corsair in Bowling Green, not the one in Nashville, and in the Washington, D.C. area. The James E. Pepper bourbon is bottled at 46% ABV and uses what's described as the original Pepper family recipe dating back to at least 1780. The nose has notes of dark chocolate, allspice, cocoa, honey, and a touch of buttered popcorn. The taste is young and fiery with cocoa, cinnamon, black pepper, and a mild touch of toasted oak. The finish has a subtle vanilla note, along with mild spices that linger nicely. It's young and intense, but still nice. I'm scoring the James E. Pepper Bourbon an 86. Now, autumn means pumpkins, jack-o'-lanterns, and, of course, pumpkin pie. Corsair has bottled a pumpkin-spiced whiskey matured in used rye whiskey barrels. Old Punk is bottled at 46% ABV. The nose has a subtle pumpkin spice, along with notes of mild ginger, cinnamon, and dark chocolate. The taste is fiery and spicy with pumpkin pie and cinnamon notes, and a touch of dark chocolate that comes in at the end. The finish is light and lingering with subtle pumpkin and a nice spiciness. I'm scoring Old Punk an 86. And now for the George T. Stagg, the flagship of the annual Buffalo Trace Antique Collection. As we heard from Master Distiller Harlan Wheatley on last week's episode, this year's version is a little less powerful than usual because of the location in the warehouses where the barrels were stored. It's only 62.6% ABV. The nose is clean and simple with notes of honey, vanilla, molasses, and toasted oak. The taste is thick and mouth-filling with honey and vanilla at first. Cinnamon and black pepper build up slowly to a good strong peak, but it's clearly not as intense as Stagg's from previous years. The finish is dry and long with muted cinnamon and honey notes. This may be the most drinkable Stagg in recent years, but if you're a fan of the knockout punch Stagg's, you might find this one disappointing. Personally, I like it. I'm scoring the 2013 George T. Stagg Bourbon a 91. I'm adding these tasting notes to the searchable list of more than 1,000 different whiskeys at the WhiskeyCast website. That's also where you'll find WhiskeyCast virtual tastings and WhiskeyCast HD episodes, news updates, the Your Voice page, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com. And my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2013. And comes to you this weekend from the Kentucky Bourbon Festival in Bardstown, Kentucky, the bourbon capital of the world. Production support for this weekend's episodes comes from Whiskey Magazine. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.